From an undisclosed location high in the Hollywood Hills, it's time once again for the long shot, come hell or high water. Tonight's episode, I was sharing something kind of vulnerable and you're attacking me for it, but that's okay. And now please welcome the host of the long shot, Sean Conroy.
Thank you so much. Good afternoon, good evening. Good morning, good noon, good night, good day, good dawn, good dusk, good desk. Welcome to The Long Shot. It is a podcast. I am your host. My name is Sean Conroy. With me today on the show is not Joe Wagner or Jamie Flam, who are both extremely occupied with other things. Occupado with otro things. But who is here? None other than Amber Kenny.
Hello.
The light at the end of the tunnel. The brass ring on the merry-go-round of life. The light at the end of the rainbow. The pot of gold at the end.
In the middle of the rainbow.
Yes.
Hello.
These pots of gold are never in the right place. We always start the show with a segment that we like to call checking in. So why don't we start today? Let's see. Very hard to do any kind of a fake out when there's nobody else here.
I believe in you though. I'm curious to know how your in-person visit went, but I don't know if.
Oh, my in-person visit last week. After
right. But I mean, show. I'm going to have to interrupt because you can't get a word in edgewise. But.
The new running bit. it was good, but it was weird, you know?
I feel like that is the tagline for 2021.
Like, yeah, as we start to get back into stuff, like, right?
It's going
to
be fine, like, fine, yeah. I guess.
I mean, understand that the other person was fully vaccinated. I am fully vaccinated. So vaccination was not a concern. And by the way, I do just want to say this. When I was leaving New York, I had been
in my... You got to try the pizza.
It is objectively better. Yeah. But I had a, you know, I had been in this room in my parents' house for months. And there was just a ton of stuff in there that I had to either pack up or get rid of or stash somewhere or whatever. And one of the things was my vaccination card, you know, like
important.
You get a thing that says you got vaccinated on this date, you got vaccinated on this date. For COVID-19, the pandemic, the year 2021, the type of vaccine, mine was the M1.
Moderna.
Yes. And
I'm a Pfizer girl.
Well, hence we will always disagree about everything. So I had that card and it was with a bunch of other stuff, including...
Oh no, I don't like where this is going.
Including the confirmation of my second vaccine appointment. In other words, the first time I went, they gave me the vaccination card and they wrote down, you have your second appointment on this date at this time. Sure. Please be there or be
square.
I think it said be around or be a square. I don't know. It's adorable.
They have fun.
Yeah. Very. I don't know if they do that at Pfizer, but at Moderna, they like to chuckle. So I was like, I don't this information, my second appointment. I get rid of this, I should keep the vaccine card.
I don't like
it. So I ripped up the second appointment card, or not card, it was just a piece of paper. I ripped it up, threw it in the garbage, and I very specifically put my vaccination card in my computer bag. I have a couple of computer bags. One is a shoulder bag, and I use that one generally because the other one is a knapsack, and I can use that to keep other stuff in. You know how bags work. Anyway, I put it very specifically in a compartment.
Like a small compartment so it couldn't
in the back of the computer thing. So I was like, I know exactly where this is. Mm-hmm. When I get back to LA, I will put it in my safe with the other, you know, my passport, my birth certificate, my social security card, the gold ingots I've collected, the bearer bonds I have, all the things that are valuable that I keep in a safe in my apartment.
Do you do this thing? I know I'm asking because I do it. Mm-hmm. Like, just because I, in an instance like that, I will out loud, even if I'm alone, say, I am putting this in my computer bag because I'm hoping that will help, like, implant memory so I'm not scrambling looking for it later. I don't know if it works or is that all successful, but I do that.
Right. I only do, I only say it out loud when I'm in a large crowd of people and I shout it because I want people to be uncomfortable and go, right. Why is that guy? Oh, he must be a Moderna person. I like Pfizer people better.
One of those Moderna guys.
Yeah. So I did that and I had it in my computer bag. Mm-hmm. And I got back to LA and I didn't do anything about it. And, you know, a week went by, another week. I don't know how long I've been back, probably about 2 weeks. And then I was just sitting on the couch one day watching my programs. And I was like, it just popped into my head. I was like, I should get it and put it where it's supposed to be. So I know exactly. Probably it came off like a news report of like, this is what's going on with vaccination. And I was like, so I went and I got my computer bag. This was the only thing in the bag at this point. And so I was like, I know it's there, but I just want to make sure and put it. And I went and I took it out of the bag and it was like a magic trick because the thing I pulled out of the bag was the confirmation of the second appointment. So what that means is either somebody put it back together and was like, I'm going to switch it out and then I'm going to. Yeah. So there could be someone out in the world vaccination card.
Well, and also that's a very funny trick. Like, that's great. We love that.
Well, and also the thing with tricks is they end eventually. And this is not going to end because the other possibility is that when I did this, and this is a thing that I do on a regular basis, I don't say out loud, which seems crazy, no offense, I am putting this in my computer bag to no one here. But what I do.
I was sharing something kind of vulnerable and you're attacking me for it, but that's okay.
I also just said doo-doo.
I said doo-doo earlier.
What I do is, I said it again. Is I rip up the thing that I should keep and keep the thing I should rip up.
Sure.
And I think that's exactly what happened.
That fear as you were telling the story.
And so what that means going forward is I may have to spend the rest of my life in my apartment because once it becomes legally required that you have proof of vaccination to get on a bus or a train or a plane or an automobile or what other, you know, rickshaw, canoe, skateboard, I won't have that proof.
Hovercraft.
Yeah, I won't have that proof and I will be screwed.
Did you take a picture of it?
No, but I have a picture of the other thing, the second appointment confirmation. Because
at my... It must be a Pfizer thing. I don't know. You probably wouldn't understand. But at my vaccination site, they were very encouraging of having everyone take a picture of both sides of the card in the event that you lose it. You at least have.
That would have been wise. Moderna, they said, can you post yourself on? Can you pretend this is your second appointment confirmation and tear it up at some point? Like, I wanted it to be like, do you know that newspaper trick? This was the only magic trick I knew when I was a kid, where you would take a large sheet of newspaper and you would rip it all up into little pieces and crumple it up into a ball, and then you would slowly unfold it and it would be back together again. Do you know that trick?
I've seen it. I don't know how to do it.
Well, you just take another sheet of newspaper and fold it up, and you have it under your thumb over here. So you rip this one up.
You have to make sure that the person didn't like read the articles too closely.
Right. You don't take it from a newspaper they're using. You're like, hey, you got today's paper? Well, I had yesterday's, and watch what I can do. But I was hoping it would be like that, that the vaccination card would be taped to the corner, folded up and taped to the corner of nothing. No, they didn't. They should have encouraged us to take a photo of it so that I would have had it. And of course, I didn't do that. And I refused to do that later. And anyway, just things like that feel like such unforced errors. Like it is, those are the kind of things that make me want to punch myself in the head.
Please don't do that.
Too late.
Ugh, I hate that. That's the worst feeling.
It's no one's fault except mine. And I don't know how to explain the idea that I literally was reading both documents and going, I need this one and I don't need this one. So I'm going to throw away this one and not this one. And I'm going to specifically put this one in the place where I know it will be. Right. And then I did it with the wrong one. Like, I feel like that's a specific brain problem that I have. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, but I don't think you're alone. I mean, I relate. I think that I think that I would have the fear so greatly that I would do that I would just keep both pieces of paper together and put them both in the computer bag because I wouldn't trust myself.
Right.
I know, coulda, shoulda, woulda, like, but I'm saying that in the sense that I get it. Like, I would throw away the wrong one.
Right. It's just when things like that happen, and there's nothing to be done. Like, there's no way to go back. I don't know.
There has to
time
be
travel. You know.
There has to be.
Or I'm quite certain that I can become involved.
The vaccinations again.
that entered my mind. I was like, should I go to Dodger Stadium? Like, should I set up, you know, they're available. Should I get vaccinated two more times?
For you? Like, I don't know.
I become super infectious. Like, I'm manufacturing the disease everywhere I go. But that literally was one thing I thought of, was like, maybe I should go get them again.
Oh my God.
But you know, the other thing you can do is like, try to get in touch with the place you got the vaccine. Right. Like, they definitely hand wrote it, but it has to be on a computer somewhere too, right?
That you showed up. Yeah.
Or it doesn't. It's just, this is how it is. We're still, we've reverted to paper documents from 50 years ago. Yeah.
Well, they might, but even if it is just paper documents, they should have a paper document on their side saying like,
I don't think so, because
John Conroy
this was
had an appointment and he came in, like even just that.
Right.
Amount.
Something like that. But this was like filled out in pen.
Oh, I know.
by the attending physician or whatever that person was. Anyway, so
that's
I like my apartment, but I don't want to be here forever, you know.
That's really upsetting. I'm so sorry.
And it's that thing of like, I don't know. I don't know exactly how you would do it, but we've all seen it in the movies where, you know, somebody has a realization and you do like a close up on their face and the entire world behind them is like spinning out of focus. Like it's like a rack focus thing, or they're like pushing in as they I don't know how to do it, but like that is basically what was happening in that moment of like me looking at that card, realizing it was the wrong card and going, oh my fuck.
The worst. You know? Well, this won't make you feel any better, but
oh, perfect. Keep going.
But after I got my first shot, you know, they were like, don't lose this card. Take a picture of it. It's so important. And I was like, yeah, so important. And I was walking from where they gave me the shot to the 100 yards where we're supposed to wait the 15 minutes. And it flew out of my hand. It was I picked it up off the sidewalk, but I was like, oh, that took 30 seconds for me. Like that, like and it was important. I had it in my head that this is important.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I don't know if it's one of those things like don't think about an elephant, you know, like of course you're gonna think about an elephant. If it's like don't lose this card, don't destroy this card, your brain somehow transmutes that to just hear. Destroy this card. I don't know what it is.
I always think about that when I'm out near kids who are learning how to ride a bike, like as they're coming towards me, I'm like, oh, this kid is definitely going to hit me, because all he's thinking is don't hit that guy. And that means he's headed straight for me. Right. So whenever I see a kid learning to ride a bike, I just stiff arm him in the face as they come close. And
say, you know, give me your milk money or whatever.
They learn. So that was my big realization of the week, is that I managed to lose my vaccination card.
That's a bummer. I wish that I had a better silver lining for you. That effing sucks.
It effing sucks. It totally effing
children.
It effing S's. It effing S's. I have a friend who on Facebook got banned from Facebook for like 48 hours once or something like that. And I don't know why, but I suspect that he doesn't understand the reason why and thinks it was because
he was
using obscenity. And so now anytime he writes a swear word, he writes X's instead of the vowels.
Oh my God.
So it's like, yeah.
But that's like dumb.
Why
it like
doesn't
brings
he,
more attention to
why
it.
Doesn't this guy kiss my excess? You know? fuck six that guy. What a piece of shit. And for some reason, and I don't understand. It really bothers me because it's been like 6 months and everything he writes has all these X's in it because he's swearing. And I'm like, dude, you didn't get kicked off Facebook, because I fucking swear on Facebook all the time. And
you effing swear constantly.
I effing S constantly.
swear is a swear at this point.
And so then I see it and I'm like, ugh.
Well, I have no idea. I don't know who this guy is, but I see on Twitter a lot, people will put like asterisks in the vowels when they're mentioning people that they don't want to give more attention to. Like, so that it's not part of like, you can't.
But that way you can't pick it up in a search. Yeah.
But I'm wondering if this guy somehow like saw that and then got kicked off and made some assumptions that were untrue.
It just seems to me like childish confusion. And I want to be like, what's wrong with you?
Or know? Also then just don't use that language at all.
Wait a minute. What? Are you kidding me with this? Maybe it's a problem that I say it out loud all the time.
Right. That's well, you read all of your Facebook posts that you... out loud.
I don't say what I'm doing out loud when there's nobody here, if I'm putting stuff in a particular but place. Like, but I do read Facebook posts out
loud. You're like, okay, I'm opening Facebook.
Why is this guy being such a six?
So that's how your in-person visit was.
Oh, right. I forgot. That's what we were talking about. Oh, so my friend comes over. And
did you already know about the card at this when you're
no okay. and it wasn't even related to that was just he wasn't like, dude, I get where's that you're saying you're vaccinated, but let me see the card. Yeah. Which I think could be a problem going forward, that there are people who lie about that shit, you know.
Yeah. Oh yeah,
like I was listening to somebody the other day, I don't even remember who or where or what language or, you know, any of those things. But they were saying, like, if everybody is vaccinated, it's okay to go to a barbecue outside. But you should only do that if everybody who is going to be there is vaccinated. Right. And it's like, well, then you're taking people at their word for the fact that they're vaccinated. And there's definitely going to be, and I'm not saying it's my friends and I'm not saying it's your friends, but some friends of friends who are going to be like, yeah, yeah, sure. I got vaccinated. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. I got the Johnson and Pfizer.
You know? I just, I'm positive this isn't true, but I just had a flash that you're like, I lost my vaccine card. Like,
this is all a scam. Yes. He has no proof that he was vaccinated. Exactly. Because he ripped it up. Get it? Because he had, of course, he did that thing you always do where you rip up the thing you need and you keep the thing you don't need.
Planting the seeds by saying like, oh, I bet some people won't even get vaccinated. They'll just say they are.
No, he's totally on our side. He got vaccinated. He just, you know how it is a thing that your brain can be broken in some ways.
We're in a strange, I think I've said this every single, but we're in this weird like logic puzzle part of life. Like, you know, those questions where it's like you have three glasses of water and one's poisoned and how do you figure out which one that isn't a real one. I just made that up off the top of my head, but like,
no, you're talking about where there's like five dudes, one's named Mr. Jones, one named Mr. White, one named Mr. Smith, one named Mr. Green,
right, and one whose name
we don't know. And they live in a greenhouse, a blue house, a red, and Mr. White lives in the red house, but doesn't have a parrot. And Mr. Smith lives in the red house.
Never be neighbors with Mr. Jones, but
he drank the poison. Yeah. No.
It's like you have to prove that the people you are with are safe.
It's just very So he's here and we're just hanging out, but we both have our masks on for like 45 minutes. And finally he's like, I'm gonna take this off. I'm gonna have some coffee. I hope that doesn't bother you. And I was like, I'm taking mine off too. Like, I don't care. But it took us that long to be comfortable enough to do that, you know? And it was definitely an icebreaker when he said that. It wasn't like he just did it. It was like, anyway, it was like that thing where you were like the master of this when you were younger, where you were on a date with a guy and at a certain point you weren't sure what was going on. So you were like,
I was always putting the moves on dudes. And the mutual consent. I like that. I think that's good. That everyone has to be comfortable with it.
Yeah. Yeah. It was definitely like,
though he did sound a little aggressive the way you told it, of like, I'm taking this off. I don't give a shit what you think.
Well, and what was weird about that was he had a gun in one hand and brass knuckles on the other hand. And so it was hard for him to get the mask off because he was like waving the gun around while he was doing
it's
it.
Dangerous.
But, you know, that's his right as an American, Second Amendment. Mm-hmm. But it was weird. And like, I have another friend coming over tomorrow. And that was something we discussed on when we were texting about whether or not this person should come over, was like, I can come over and we can talk, or we can just talk over Zoom. And my response to that was, and I know this person is vaccinated. My response was, if you are comfortable coming here, I think it would probably be good for both of us because we need to start getting used to the idea of spending time with other people because it's still feels weird to me, you know?
Yes.
It doesn't feel like a normal, like it's been so abnormal for so long that the normal is now abnormal and the abnormal, I don't know what's the opposite of abnormal?
No one knows. There's no way to know.
But anyway, it's the opposite of that. Yeah.
Jeff does all our grocery shopping. I've mentioned that before. I'm a very lucky person. But he said this week was the first time in over a year he brings his own grocery bags. And because he would bring outside grocery bags, he had to bag his own groceries. And
more power to Jeff for buying the groceries, for bringing his own bags, all those things. That particular thing, at least in the groceries, maybe it was because I was in New York for so long. Mm-hmm. I don't remember that being a thing before I left Los Angeles. Now that I've come back, it's like, oh yeah, if you bring your own bags, you have to bag it yourself. And knowing what I know about how that is not a way that this virus transmits via touching stuff, right. I'm like, this is, again, you know, I've had issues, as you may recall, I've had issues about security theater for years about the bullshit with the TSA. And this is yet another iteration of that where it's very performative and has nothing to do with reality. And I know that's not the point of your story, but go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, I was going to say they bagged the groceries for the first time this week.
Oh, they did. Oh, okay. So I take back everything I said.
Sorry to.
I'm no longer angry.
but it, even that was weird. Like he was like, oh, I actually have my own bags. Like don't. And they were like, yeah, no, we know we do this now. And
we've actually like, caught up with science. It turns out we know science now.
But when it's crazy how quickly you become accustomed to something.
Right.
So even just changing back to something maybe yeah. even more convenient is it's jarring.
Yeah. I went yesterday. I guess, yeah, it was only, we talked about this a little bit last week, but so my brother's mother-in-law won the Oscar last week for...
Yes, we actually didn't talk about it on air because the Oscars were the next
then
day.
Then I take it back, never mind.
Oh my God.
Aaron, can you cut that out?
On your, I don't know if you get a congratulations
no,
or if
no,
your
no,
brother does.
Absolutely not.
But it's still so exciting and... Mm-hmm. I thought she was so insanely charming. I didn't watch all the Oscars,
it was funny,
but I did
yeah.
see that part. And yeah. It was exciting. Like, I am very distant from her, and you are pretty distant from her. But it's
oh, I couldn't be more distant.
But it still feels like I kind of know her. You know, like, yes. It's like a 6 degrees of separation.
Yeah, absolutely. But anyway, so she wins the Oscar last week and she's out here staying at a friend's place down in Orange County, just spending some time out here after that, whatever.
With a fucking Oscar. Ah, oh, that's so crazy.
So my brother
an
comes
effing
out.
Oscar, so sorry.
I know. Let's just say it does not suck. He brought my nephew out to visit his grandmother, you know, and so now I have a picture of him holding an Oscar, which is kind of fun.
That is cool as hell.
Yeah. But so they were down in Orange County. So, you know, anyway, I met them for lunch yesterday. I drove to Tustin, which is 40 miles down south of here.
I know where Tustin is.
So it only took me 11 hours to get there in the middle of the day on a weekday. Yes, I took the 5.
Big mistake.
Classic classic Lo Shopo directions in California explanation. Yes, I took the 5. But this, you know, it meant going and sitting at a restaurant for lunch. And I have not done that really, you know.
What? Restaurant. I know this is not at all the point, but I have.
It's a restaurant called Rutabagors, and it is.
I think I'm aware.
Not vegetarian, even though it sounds like it should be vegetarian. The waitresses are all in their late 50s, early 60s, and they all have like. I'm trying to think of who a good. Anyway, they all have like the most. Chiseled biceps I've ever seen.
Oh wow! I didn't expect
human beings
that to be what you said next.
No, I know it was crazy. Like I was looking, I couldn't tell. There was like 3 of them, and they all had these incredible physiques. And I was like,
heavy trays they have to carry.
I don't think so. I don't know what it is. Like I was like, is it because it's a health food place? But then it wasn't a health food place, and. I didn't know if it was because they might have been related. I was like, are they a family that just has genetically, you know, or is this a restaurant, which I guess is a thing now? You know, it used to be they limited steroid use to wrestling and baseball and, you know, but now maybe it's
waitressing very competitive.
Yeah. you know, they could be using banned substances. And but anyway, I was like, holy shit, these women could like arm wrestle the shit out of somebody.
That's cool.
But sitting at this place, it was like, when do I take my mask off? Is it okay to take? But it was outside. We were eating outside, which supposedly is perfectly safe, even if you don't have a mask on, if you have been vaccinated. And it's
we also
still
don't want to be the asshole that's like, do you see that guy over there without a mask right. on? Like, who does he think he is?
But that said, there were people there who were eating inside as well. Like there were people outside, people inside, you know. Anyway, it's all very like, what is going on, you know?
Yeah.
And this leads to all kinds of other issues, but one of the problems is we really, it is going to take some figuring out and getting used to. And luckily, there's a large percentage of the population here in the United States that's not interested in that. And is just like, fuck you, I don't have to fuck it. I mean, sorry, I meant to say, fuck six.
No, yeah, we've demonstrated we're not great at coming together for the greater good. That's not our.
Like, just be patient and figure it out and make decisions together.
And this will be better for everyone.
Right.
Eventually.
And instead it's like, no, not interested. No.
I need my French toast and I need it served to me and I need it now.
Yeah. Right. Which is a whole other issue because why are you getting French toast if you're a good American? You know, why not?
Wow.
Pancakes. Freedom toast. But yeah. It was weird. It was weird to go sit at a restaurant with other people. And it was fine eventually, but there was, on my part at least, some reticence to renaissance. I was hesitant. Yes. I was hesitant.
Yeah. Yeah. It's very interesting for me to have a puppy that is sequestered from the world right now because it's such an on the nose metaphor for all of us because the second he's vaccinated, it's been instilled in us that it's very important to get him socialized.
Mm-hmm.
But not now. He cannot see another dog or another human being or touch the ground. But the second he can, he needs to be comfortable around people and dogs.
And if he's not, it will damage him for the rest of his life.
It's like, this feels complicated and a mixed message.
Right.
And I think that's the same for us, is what I'm saying. Like, the head of the DreamWorks marketing department, we have Zoom meetings once a week. And he was like, you know, I'm putting this out there and there's no pressure. And I don't want anyone to do anything that they don't feel comfortable with, but I'm.
Let's have a meeting in the conference room.
Well, he's like, I'm toying with the idea of like sometime in the summer having a meetup in person outside, just because like, to be together because it's safe now or will be then. And like to your point, it gave me anxiety and not because I believe it will be completely safe by then. I believe that whole department will be vaccinated by then and will have been for quite some time. I don't think I'm ready to hang out with 35 coworkers all at once. Like, I think I need to baby step it. And I would like to start with friends and family first and not, you know, people that I only mildly connected to.
Is it coworkers or cow workers? I always thought it was cow workers.
Cow workers. Maybe. I don't know. There's no way to know.
Yeah. Who can tell? But yeah, you're right. Like,
it just sounds overwhelming.
Yeah.
Well, and it would be, I already know, and maybe that's a me problem. I need to not project, but I just predict a lot of like, so how are you doing? And it's like, not great. I don't know what you want from me.
It's also so hard to not project when you have been theatrically trained as you have.
But yeah, work small talk is the thing I miss the least from before times. So I'm not eager to jump into a social setting where that is all that it is. I don't know. I could see myself unraveling.
So what else is going on with you since we're now in the marketing department together? You know, like, who wants to have that conversation?
And that balance of like, don't say anything too vulnerable and be the weirdo at the party, but also don't not share at all. Like, be able to connect like a human being on some level. It's a fine line.
And that begs the question of like, what kind of long-term effects is all of this going to have, you know?
I think it's going to be good.
I don't know. I mean, some of it probably will be, and some of it won't. I mean, how many times can I say, I mean, this is what I mean. I was at one of my favorite places yesterday, and this is a thing that I've noticed recently, is, and the place I'm talking about is Starbucks, and I feel like Starbucks
card, and you're like
Aaron said Plowboy Liquors. Yeah. I haven't been there in so long, and I know it's still open, which, by the way, I tried to not go to Starbucks the other day. I went to Coffee Bean and Tea Leaf, and it's gone. The one on Argyle and Sunset.
Damn. I think it's a better
coffee. Yeah. Oh, the coffee is definitely better at Coffee Bean and Tea Leaf. It's just closer to go to Starbucks. But
damn.
Damn.
That sentence says so much.
And it's closer by like two blocks.
Right. You
know? But this is a thing. So I feel like going to Starbucks was always the joke. My mic sounds weird in my headphones right now. The joke at Starbucks was always that everybody's so specific about their orders, right? Mm-hmm. I want a half calf, double calf, no cream, non-fat, extra hot latte with, you know, skinny latte with stevia or whatever.
Right. Extra hot is always interesting
to me. And I have specific orders that are not nearly as complex as that. Mm-hmm. And they have just been fucking them up constantly for months now. Like, nobody can get it right.
Going back. Like, this is on you.
But this is what, yeah. Well, I tried to go to Coffee Bean and Tea Leaf, but it's not there anymore. But what I noticed is like, well, on top of everything else at this point, whenever I go to, not just Starbucks, any place, I will usually tip at least 50%, if not more, on everything.
Yes. Same.
And you do that, you're, you know, like, it's like, oh, this is good service. And it's not even that anymore. Now it's like, thank you for being the first over the top of the trench. Person. Yeah. thank you for being in the front of the landing craft in Saving Private Ryan. You're the one taking the bullet between the eyes.
But also, where's my half calf?
Well, okay. So here's the thing is I went in and I said, can I have a grande? I'm going to go through the whole thing. Grande black eye with cream. Now, that doesn't sound particularly complicated to me.
So let's
break it down.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of know what a red eye is.
Okay.
Is that a coffee with a shot of espresso?
Red eye is coffee with espresso. Black eye is coffee with two shots of espresso. I was asking for a coffee.
Like it.
Coffee with two shots of espresso. Now, one of the problems is that has gotten lost.
Can you
lost
just say that, though?
Well, I had to say what size, and I had to say that I wanted cream in it. Mm-hmm. You know? You're saying don't say black eye. Say,
yeah, maybe that's where people are losing it. Maybe that part of the language is lost.
Yeah. That could be part of it, because that's definitely a thing that has gotten lost in the last couple of years, where less and less people, for some reason, know what a black eye is. It used to be everybody knew what that was. Now people are like befuddled by that, you know? But this person was not befuddled by that.
Oh, knew, I was like, I think we saw
it. No. They knew exactly what it was. They were like,
and I'm going to thwart you. I know what it is and I will do it wrong.
Well, no, here's the thing was Grande Black Eye with cream. I paid my money. I got my, you know, or I tipped my money, paid my tip. Put the tip in the thing. I just put the tip in. Ugh. I just put the tip in.
Where's Joe when you meet him?
and you know, the barista was like, I have a Grande Black Eye for Sean. And they spelled my name right on the thing, which I always get a kick out of. And I get out to the car and I take a sip and there's no cream. It just was. And I'm like, how is that hard to do? But I also was like, if this was just a regular time,
you could add cream yourself,
or I would go back in and go, hey, can I get some cream? Now I'm like, yeah, whatever, I'll drink it black, who cares? Mm-hmm. You know, and I feel like that is, I mean, obviously it stuck with me, and I wrote in my diary about it all last night, and then in my journal this afternoon, and this morning on my morning pages were just all about that. And now I'm talking about it on this
session with your therapist.
I had an emergency session with my therapist. And then I called those people who do it over the phone and did it with them too, you know? No, but I feel like that has changed my thing with stuff like that too. And I'm using that as a specific, but I feel like that is a more general principle where I'm just much more like, who fucking cares? Whatever. It's fine.
The line in the sand is.
Whereas it used to be like, it is not hard to get this right. Please do so. And now it's like, I'll take as close as you can get without me having to stress about it. I know it's not a complicated order, but I also don't know what's going on with you. So, so be it. You know, I said Grande Black Eye with cream. You gave me a kombucha with orange juice.
And good you're enough. Right. That's what I wanted. That's what I needed.
Yeah. Here's a 200% tip.
Well, how do you feel about being more lax about that? Like, is it making your life?
It infuriates me.
Okay. Great.
I'm so angry about it. I'm just so chill that I'm like, what the fuck? What the fuck? No, I don't know. That's what I'm saying. Like, is that going to be a long-term thing? Is that going to last? Or when things get back to normal, am I going to be just as fussy about all that stuff as I always was?
Right. You know? Right. Yeah.
As I always were. I don't know.
There's no way to know.
Who can say? There's no wrong, right?
I think this isn't what you're talking about. You're talking about.
No, please. Let's change the subject.
you've said enough. I can't believe I let you.
Here we go again.
No, but the pacing. Because I think I have friends who are like, let's get that vaccine in us and then like hit the ground running and like party hard and everything's normal and like let's live it up, almost like making up for lost time. Mm-hmm. And I appreciate that and I actually understand that, but I can already like it's they're ready to cannonball into the pool and I'm gonna dip my toe in. Like I could already tell that for whatever reason I really need to slow and steady ease into this. But some of that I can't control. Like the world around me will be happening. So it's going to be interesting.
Right. I mean, that's another part of it is that everybody is at different levels of acceptance.
Right.
And so you have to accommodate them. They have to accommodate you. Or you can do the thing of like, fuck you. I'm not doing what you say. I'm doing what I want. which is another whole philosophy.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to be how I approach it. I have a feeling.
I've known you for a long time, and I know that you go back and forth on things. People would be surprised at times when you come out swinging.
Wait. You can't. Is this a bit or is this true? Because
that's such a good question. There's no way to know. There's no way to know.
I would love to learn something about myself.
No way to know.
But I mean, I guess, like the fuck you.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, everyone. F you. That isn't really how I operate. Like, even when I'm so angry, like, for example, when I was really, really angry, and I still am with Mitch O'Farrell, it was still like me going on Twitter being like, I strongly disagree, sir. Like, I don't.
It occurs to me that it is possible I may not vote for you next time.
Right. I don't really go,
you may find yourself deprived of my approval in future.
Right. I don't like, which is so funny because I can think of a thousand examples where this isn't true, but I don't like hurting people's feelings.
Interesting.
Like, I know.
Just you hearing you say that out loud makes me feel like a piece of shit.
That's what I was going for.
It worked.
No, but I don't know. I'm not saying this as like a braggy thing. I'm saying I don't even know if it's a positive, but I am very like, I would, if someone isn't wearing a mask, I have friends who would like yell at them on the street.
Mm-hmm.
That is not how I operate at all. A, I'm just not very confrontational, but B, I think part of me is like, I don't know what's going on in their life.
Right.
I can't assume that I know the full story.
Right. Yeah. Which is a couple of different things, but I don't want to argue with you because I don't know what's going on in your life.
Fuck you.
Yeah. But time will tell. Time will tell. Time wounds. Time. All right. Cow workers. All right. So we always start the show with a segment that we like to call checking in. So let's do that right now. And let's start today with Amber checking in. What's going on with you?
Yeah. Well, first of all, I just heard it. I was telling Aaron this before you got on, but I just heard it again. Having a puppy is very, very funny because I'll just hear Jeff having a full conversation in the other room with Smudgy, obviously, mm-hmm. but it's like, that is not
that Smudgy not talking back though.
Right. Right. And that didn't used to be the soundtrack to just like, he's like singing, and it's very cute. It's very cute to see Jeff as like a parent. It's cute. I got my second vaccination shot on Wednesday, and it was.
Did you take a picture of the vaccine card? Because I heard that's what you're.
I did. Okay, I did, as a matter of fact. But I think I mentioned this last podcast, but we split up our appointments so that Smudgy wouldn't be home alone.
You did say that, yes.
And so I drove for the first time since Cupcake Gate. I don't know if I did more harm than good, but I spent like a few days beforehand, like I would search the the route that I need to take, so I was aware.
The 5?
No.
Oh, that's good.
I'm not insane. Yeah.
you're native.
Right. What was I saying? Oh, but yeah, like I just wanted to make sure that there wasn't, I wasn't like in the car stressed out being like, do I take the 60? Like, is it this exit? Like I wanted to feel very comfortable in what I was doing. I had been there before.
It's like a heist movie. Like you sat there with yourself and walked yourself through the plan right, over right. and over again.
Well,
okay. 60 North, exit 15, get off, make a right, stop at the light. Make your first left. Go down two blocks. The place will be on your right. There's parking on the other side.
I sound
That's great. That's great,
insane.
Amber. Let's run through it again.
I sound 60 insane. North.
Exit 15. Get off. Make a right. At the light, make a left. There's parking just past.
Then, oh no, oh no. In the plan, there was parking right away, but we have to go to the second level. Abort, abort. No, but I understand that that makes me sound completely insane, but I think it's good for my anxiety to just know that it's happening, to feel confident that I can do it. And I left with plenty of time. I left really early. It was a beautiful day. It was a nice little drive. I knew exactly where I was going. I got there. My appointment was for 10 a.m. I was already in the waiting area after I got the shot in this arm. I don't know why I did that. at 10:01. Like it was so well organized.
10:01. You got the shot in your arm. You're in the waiting room. 10:15, you take your keys, you walk out to the car again. You open the door. Back in. Come out of the parking lot, make a left across traffic. Be careful because there's cars coming the other way. This is making me think of, I don't know why, maybe because I just watched it this week, but that scene in Munich. Did you ever see Munich, that Spielberg movie about the Israelis
so.
Who are, there's just one scene where they're, it's, you know what it's about though. It's about these guys who, well, they go to kill all the guys who were responsible for killing the Israeli Olympians at the 72 Olympics. And so it's this team of guys tracking down. Anyway, at one point they're going to blow up this guy in his apartment in Paris. They planted a bomb in his phone and they're just going to call. And when he answers the phone, they turn a little key. They're in a car across the street and they turn. And of course,
like his daughter answers or something.
Exactly. Like his right before, you know, a truck pulls up and blocks their view. And while their view is blocked, his daughter comes home. She forgot something on her way to school and she comes home and goes upstairs to the apartment and you see the phone ringing and the guy's looking at the phone and the daughter's like, no, papa. And she answers the phone. She's like, hello. And it's like this very tense. And I feel like that's the kind of thing that should happen while you're getting your vaccine. We're like one little variable is different. And you're like, I didn't plan for this.
You see the sweat drop. Definitely. But yeah, it was an outdoor site. It was so beautiful. I didn't want to go back to work, but I did. And by that, I mean, drive home and start working again. And I felt fine. My arm really hurt the next day and I was really, really tired. Jeff went down pretty hard. And that's so wild too. Like that everybody reacts so differently.
Yeah, I mean, I was like you, where my arm was sore and I was tired, and that was the extent of it for me mm-hmm. on either vaccination, which I definitely got.
Good one. Yeah, I had the same symptoms as you because I
exactly the same experience. I mean, even down to the nice day and going back to work was very similar to my situation when I got vaccinated both times. I did
because I definitely did. Well, it's also funny because so many people I was getting. I also had anxiety because I had so many friends who got really, really sick from the second shot. So it's the strange thing to make an appointment to get ill, even though I know that's what a vaccine is. It's like it's weird to wrap your head around of like, well, on Wednesday, I'll be sick.
Yeah. And I think that was a problem for a lot of people. I mean, that's keeping a lot of people from doing it because they're like, why would I want to get sick when I'm fine now and I don't need to get right. sick? I could just not get it and not be sick.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Yeah, I might kill some other people, but I don't feel bad, you know?
The American dream. But Wait, what was I saying about? I think also the getting sick, the driving, all of that was kind of wrapped up in the anxiety. And
it's a lot. It's a lot to deal with.
What was I? Oh, that's
daughter coming home right when the phone rings. Right.
Well, so many people were like, you know, I got really, really sick, but they say the sicker you get, it means that your immune system is really good. Right. And so now I'm like, great, I didn't get that sick. So do I have a bad immune system? Like it's a lose-lose situation.
I also feel like there's a million different reasons. I don't think, like everybody's like, oh, it's because you're in better shape. Oh, right. It's because you're, you know,
you drink,
you have
enough.
A better credit rating. That's why you got sicker.
Right. But it is funny because I know that it's trying to spin something negative positive, but then if I don't get that negative.
Yeah.
Is that?
Oh, you didn't get sick. That means your moral center is more corruptible.
Right. Oh, that means you're racist, actually.
Yeah. I do feel like there was a lot of that stuff floating around. I mean, not, you know, not moral things, but everybody was like, this is why people are getting sick.
Right.
And it was just
suddenly,
a very...
Everybody is an expert on...
Yeah, yeah. Science, you know.
Right.
So now you're vaccinated. Now you can just go back to your 35-person coworker meeting.
Yeah, can't wait. No, we still have, you know, the 2 weeks. It's only been 2 days since, or 3 days since we got vaccinated. But my parents also finally got their second shot. They had their first shot in February. They were early adopters, so it was really exciting. And it felt like they were ahead of schedule. And then the second shot was a little bit more elusive. And I was getting anxiety about it. But
why
was
that? Do you know?
I don't know. I think.
Did they not get their second shot confirmation document? Because I have that.
No, I think that. I don't know if they just were overzealous as a community with that first shot. And then they didn't necessarily have the supplies to give the second shot to all of the people they gave the first shot. I really don't know about the infrastructure of San Felipe, Mexico, and all of that. But
I know they take bribes there, from what I understand.
I mean, they take bribes here, Sean. We are not.
How do you think I got my... Oh, wait. Sorry.
A pure society. But yeah, it was starting to give me anxiety. My parents... like had good spirits about it because they were told that with that shot in particular, the longer the period between the shots, like the more effective the vaccine is.
Sure. Sure.
But I think there still is a point where it's too late, you know? And
if you wait 6 years, you're never going to get anything. You will never be affected by any virus for the rest of your life.
Right. So I was starting to get anxious about it just because I didn't know if it was ever going to happen or if they were going to have to, you know, drive the Mexican countryside looking for the second shot. And they got, I think they got AstraZeneca, which is the one that is not in the United States. Mm-hmm. So they were now in a position where they couldn't even come up and get their second shot. Like they were in like really backed into a corner. But they got their second shot on Thursday and hallelujah, like what a relief for everyone. So I might actually see my parents at some point this summer, which is like crazy. It's crazy.
Been a while.
It's crazy.
It's been
but
a while. Yeah.
It's been a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And that's great. I get really, I don't know if you do this, but I keep imagining the first time I see my parents, the first time I see Abby and we can hug, the first, you know, like all of these different.
I don't do that about your parents, but I do that about Abby.
Okay. But like, and
keep
getting
imagining the first time I see Abby.
But yeah, it's interesting. We're all. We're all like coming out of prison in a very strange way.
Well, here's just to go further with the stuff we were talking about before and the stuff we're talking about now and the stuff we haven't talked about yet. When I went back to New York to be at my parents' house, you know, I was seeing them for the first time in over a year.
Right.
And I had quarantined myself for 2 weeks before I went to their house. But it wasn't like I walked in and was like, hey, it was still like, hey, right. You know, it was weird. It was like a weird, there was never a moment where we were all like, it's okay now, we can do whatever. It was like this slow acclimation to being around people that I had not normally been around, you know? And I don't know that I'll ever touch any human being again, you know?
Well, yeah, to each his own.
Fair enough. What else? Anything else checking in?
No, I there's like big projects at work, but nobody cares about that. I don't want to talk about it, but it is something. It is, I'll talk about it in the sense that it feels like things were sort of coming to a head this week in like an intense way, where I have this like looming big project for that development program that I'm in.
Oh, right.
And like I was like, I have 3 days more to work on this. This is me talking on Tuesday.
Not one day more, 3 days more.
Well, I have 3 days more to work on
three
this,
more days.
This project, but two of those days I might be in bed with a fever. Like so it's like doing that math, but I was fine. So it wasn't, but it made everything more heightened, is what I'm saying.
Made you more anxious. Maybe that was part of the anxiety thing.
Yeah. It certainly didn't help. Yeah. And then,
okay. So you come out of the parking lot, you make a left, you go home, you lie down in bed, you have a fever for 2 days. Meanwhile, you have a big project to finish for this program that you're in. You can't do it because you got the fee. Oh,
right.
Shit.
Right.
Let's walk your through it again. Start over. 60 North. Get off at exit 15.
Adjust your mirrors.
I was just reading about, you know, that it was exactly 10 years ago today that a SEAL team went into Pakistan and killed Osama bin Laden.
Oh, whoa. Today?
Literally to the day that we're recording. Yeah.
Whoa.
And there's a guy, a writer named Garrett Graff, who published in Politico an oral history of that whole operation. It just came out and I was reading through it. And, you know, I'm joking about you going on the 60 North and all that stuff, but that they literally had to go through the entire thing.
Like step by step.
A couple of times, including a 162-mile helicopter flight to make sure, because they want, you know, they did it. They didn't just, they set up a compound and had the helicopter pack all these guys in and fly them 162 miles so they would know exactly what was going to happen when they got out of the helicopter and like every moment, every, you know, so I don't think they were as anxious as you were, but I'm sure that
no,
at
I mean,
some
the stakes
level
were as high as I can. I make an observation.
Yeah.
You seem really into stories about people assassinating people lately.
I love assassinations. I love a good assassination.
You talked about that podcast.
I think it was just coincidence. I think the Politico thing just popped up in my timeline and I am a...
Well, and then Munich.
Garrett, that's true.
This is what I'm saying. The Munich thing. Three examples.
But the Munich thing I was just using because I literally was flipping through the channels this week and I happened upon that scene.
I'm
and it
just
was
making
a scene.
An observation. I'm
it
not
was judging. A scene where someone was going through the end result of a plan and something got fucked up. And that was my and I did listen to another episode of Good Assassins this week on my pod, you know, my podcast player, my
phone.
What if I just started, just call me on my podcast player. like that's its preeminent use. And then the
other one is, it's kind of like that.
It's true. I don't talk
like
on the phone.
When you call someone, when someone calls you, it's like,
yeah, yeah.
This is where I Google bathing suits or whatever.
But anyway, I did get my autographed picture of Lee Harvey Oswald this week. So that was exciting. And
no, you're really into like revenge assassinations, or maybe revenge isn't, but like
there's different kinds of assassinations. Yeah. Like there's revenge assassinations. There's lark assassinations where it's just for fun. They're like, who can we kill somebody for fun
at random?
No, I do think the Osama bin Laden thing is just a coincidence. And I do, it's funny. I was looking on Facebook. I couldn't find it, but I definitely have a picture of myself from that night because I was at Bird's, as I would have been wont to do back at that time. And I didn't care. I didn't give a shit that that guy got killed or whatever. But there were people like hugely sell. I don't know if you remember, but there was like huge. And so somebody came in. Somebody I know pretty well came in with like an American flag and was like jumping around like, "Yeah, we killed Bin Laden. We killed Bin Laden." And he insisted on wrapping me up in this flag and taking a picture of it. So I literally have a photo somewhere. I don't know where it is. Of like me just kind of looking like what the fuck on the day Osama bin Laden was I don't know if assassinated is the right word there. I don't know.
What is the correct word?
Executed.
Okay. I find it distasteful to celebrate
someone's killing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I get it. I'm not like pro Osama bin Laden. I'm not, but it feels gross.
There's good things about everybody. You know, you don't know what was going on with him when he had them attack the World Trade Center. You don't know what was going on in his life. Who are you to criticize?
But yeah, I didn't love that reaction.
Yeah, it was weird. I do feel like that's weird. Like, fine, they did it, but like being like, woohoo, party time, let's do shots.
Well, and also it feels almost childish in the sense that like, so it's not like
it doesn't change what happened.
Well, and it doesn't, it's not like we're in a fairy tale and you killed the big bad wolf and now we're free. It's like, yes, you've stopped him, but if there are people who subscribe to his philosophy, it didn't go away with him. If anything, now they feel emboldened to seek revenge. Like it feels, I don't know.
Right. It's not like they're going to, it's hard to do this anyway, but it's not like they're going to cancel their subscription, you know?
Right. Well, it's not like they're like, oh, I learned my lesson. Mm-hmm. Like now I think America's is the good guys. Like, right. I don't know.
But that was the whole reason, if you remember, that's why they dumped him in the ocean, was because they didn't want to have like a place people could go to express their admiration
that.
For him and like work. It was just like, let's keep it anonymous. We don't know where he is. We don't know where his body is. It's gone. He's gone. He never existed.
But that's so funny because then doesn't it leave room for people to be like,
Of course.
You think that he's really killed? It's probably with Sean's vaccination card.
Yeah. Right. Somewhere right now, I don't know where, but he is like in a cave somewhere looking at my vaccination card going, I think I could get away with this. I am 6'3" after all.
Does it have our height up there?
Mine did. Was I not supposed to write that on there?
It might. I don't know.
I'll write my height after my name on an official document. Like I just like to see it there.
People respect you.
Yeah. Sean Conroy, 6'3".
But it says on your coffee.
Okay, so it's a grande black guy. What's your name?
Sean 6'3". That might be what's tripping them up.
Right. Why does it say 6'3"?
I don't know. Just don't put cream in it.
I think he's a robot. All right, this feels like a good place to take a break, so let's do that, and then we'll be back with a segment on the show that we like to call parting shots. Sharding pots. Pot shards.
Shot, please.
Ding. Hey everybody, it's Sean. Thanks so much for listening, and please follow us on Twitter at Longshot Podcast. Also, follow us on Instagram. Why not? If I could tell you what our Instagram handle was, I would, but alas, I don't have it off the top of my head because this is The Long Shot. It's a podcast. Now back to our regular show.
The early aughts were the ready or nots, the assortment of soon to be sunspots.
We are back. You are listening to The Long Shot. It is a podcast. This is a special episode because it's just Amber and myself. Unlike usual, when it's sometimes somebody else or two other people, depending on what happens. But we always end the show with a segment that we like to call Parting Shots. So let's start today with me.
Thank God.
I only did that. I was going to go to you first, but then you were like, I don't have anything. So just letting people
in. Well, I usually spend the bathroom break in there's shows where I'm like locked and loaded. I've got a checking in or a parting shot for sure. I know what they are.
Right.
And they're not to like show everyone how the sausage is made. There's times that I'm like, I definitely have a checking in and something will come to me throughout the show. And so like usually that break time, that's when I lock it in and
you codify that and yeah, you're like, this is the thing.
I forgot. So I'm just vamping. Mm-hmm.
I know vamping.
I'll come up with something.
Mm-hmm. I don't really have anything either.
Oh, great. Perfect. Even better.
Well, I mean, I have stuff, but it's all... See, again, my mic sounds really weird to me at times if I don't keep my face right over it like this. You know, I have a couple things, but they're not things that I want to get into. You know,
so then you don't have a couple things,
but they're like things that I would like to get into, but I don't feel like getting into them in a public way. Do you know what I mean? Like
you have things that are important to you, but you don't quite feel comfortable in sharing. This forum.
Yes.
Okay.
Which makes it tricky because those things are so top of mind and yes. So present to me that I then have to dig a little deeper and go, what's something I don't care about that I could bring up as if I cared about it? So here's what I will say. This is a thing that I was thinking about the other day, and I've said it to a couple of people who have had a variety of reactions to it. And we'll see what your reaction is. You know, I do think you to a certain extent go, well, I don't know what's going on with that person, so I don't know how to react. But
I'll just go fuck you.
Yeah, you might. I had a thought the other night. It was kind of an epiphany, and I don't quite know what brought it on.
You're having an epiphany, and Jamie's not even here.
I know. Well, yeah. Luckily, it's not a personal epiphany. It's not like, if I just meditate for 11 right. minutes instead of 10, my life will be perfect.
If I have three post-it notes on the mirror.
All I have to do is build a windmill on the roof and use that to power everything.
I just have to be the world's greatest composer.
If I can only invent a solution for money.
Time travel.
Yeah. No, it was a very depressing moment because I probably was, I don't know, watching the news or reading something on Twitter, but I was like, oh, this country is over.
Oh, yeah.
It's over. Like, we're done. Everything I thought was true when I was growing up is you know, wasn't even necessarily 100% true at the time, but now we're never coming back from this. Like, we're never coming back. There is such a rift between factions in American society and between beliefs in what is true versus what is not true versus whether you can even say there is such a thing as truth. And the people in power have accentuated and exploited it in such a way.
They're fully aware of that
to
rift
make
and
people
they like it.
Angrier and more upset and more willing to give them money. And that's never going to stop. Like, Fox News is a success, which, by the way, I heard somebody, one of the anchors on CNN today, said the bullshit factory, otherwise known as Fox News, just said
they
that
said,
on.
They said bullshit?
He should have said bullshit. So we'll see if they get fined by the FCC. But, you know, Fox News is a successful business model. Mm-hmm. And people are making way too much money
to stop
spreading just nonsense.
Right.
And enough people buy into it that it perpetuates itself. And I'm using Fox News only because that's the most prominent example on a regular basis. But there's lots of other stuff like that. And people whose job it is to be in charge of things for this country, who see it to their benefit to split people apart. And, you know, I mean, I used to talk about that when the last president was in office, about the fact that he would wake up every morning and work as hard as he possibly could all day to make the people who hated him hate him more, so that the people who hated the people who hated him would hate those people more. Like, just increase the hate, get
gasoline,
more hate in
gasoline.
The world.
Yeah.
And, you know, it is a true, true gift that he had. He was incredibly good at that. You know, he wasn't good at anything else, but he was really fucking good at that. And so even though things had already been kind of fucked up for years before that, it has become so much worse. And it was just a sad thought for me to say, like, this is it. This is how things are going to be forever. You know,
you don't remember what inspired that thought?
I don't. And I don't think it, I ultimately, I was thinking about that too. And I was like, ultimately, I don't think it matters because there's stuff that could inspire that thought all the time going on, you know, news coming out, things happening.
Local politics, national politics, like anything.
Mitch O'Connell. What's
his name? O'Farrell.
Mitch O'Farrell. Yeah, yeah. Mitch McConnell. Mitch fucking Mitches, man. But I'm into truth. I'm into truth. I like truth. I like things that are true.
It's a tough time for you.
I believe that things are true. And I like when people are telling the truth and believe in the truth. And it's very, you know, I would say disappointing and also upsetting that that has become such a fungible, not to use such a trendy word, but that has become such a fungible concept, you know, that you don't know. There's no way to know what's true. I mean, we were joking about that, but that is an attitude that people in charge have that benefits them, is if nobody knows what the truth is, I can tell them what the truth is.
Right. Do you ever listen to This American Life, that little podcast? I don't know.
Never heard of it.
A really recent episode, it might be the most recent episode, is called The Herd. And it's basically split up into two stories. And
is this about cows?
It's about cow orchards.
Herd of what? Herd of cows. Why would I care what a cow herd?
The first story, it both are equally depressing. So I can't even necessarily recommend it, but it also...
Act two, it just gets worse from here.
But the first story is about two public health workers in Santa Cruz County. You know, public servants, their whole job is to keep people safe and healthy. That's like they're passionate about it. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't aware of these stories ahead of time, but I guess in Santa Cruz, they went into extreme lockdown very early. And because of that, they had like one or two cases for the first, I want to say 6 months or something. Mm-hmm. But as you can imagine, people were furious because it's this weird thing where if you do a good job and keep people safe,
it proves that it's not a threat.
Right. And so these two women, these public servants, they're not elected officials. They were literally getting death threats every day. They stopped being able to leave their house. And like, it's just depressing on every level because they did such a good job. People want them dead. And literally from the bottom of their heart, they just didn't want to see people die. And they started opening things up just based on pressure. The cases went up. Like it makes me want to throw my laptop out a window because it's so obvious that these people are coming from the right place. Mm-hmm. But to your point at the beginning, like people just want to be like, fuck you. Like you are just trying to ruin our economy.
You're trying to control my life. Yeah.
And it's just like, why would that be the case? Why would they be trying to ruin the economy? I just find it so disheartening
that people. There's an answer to that. There's an answer to that, which is
so that if Donald Trump wouldn't win the election.
Well, and because then you can implement socialism, and everybody can live in camps, and you can implement critical race theory, and you know, get away with all the bullshit that the socialists have been trying to implement for years. The Green New Deal. Nobody will be allowed to eat meat. I mean, it's all this bullshit. You know.
Well, and then the second story, again,
oh God, I hope depressing. We weren't going to go to the second one.
But this one I actually really want you to listen to.
Act three.
I don't remember
anyone's names. Throw your laptop out the window.
I don't remember anyone's names because I'm bad at that. But it's this high up guy, like a right wing guy who he's famous for, he was the one who was like, we don't call it global warming, we call it climate change. Like he's the one who's done a lot of actually the changes that are bad in the bullshit factory, but he believes in the vaccine.
Frank Luntz.
I think it is Frank Luntz. Yeah, I think it is. But he believes in the vaccine. He's a strong believer and he's aware that you look at all the polling and the biggest population that doesn't believe in the vaccine or is resistant to taking the vaccine are Trump supporters. Like no matter how you slice or dice the demographics, the Trump supporters have the highest percentage in those categories. So he created a focus group to try to figure out.
That's all Frank Luntz does is create focus groups. He's a focus group guy.
Right. But he even, it was so depressing because he's like, I'm one of you. I'm a Republican. I'm a Trump supporter. And you just hear these
people. Is this where he shut the group down basically because people were just like so.
Well, at the end he gets, not to spoil it, he does get some movement. But I mean, he had like the head of the CDC speak. He had.
Oh, right. And it was like, which one will they listen to?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it took like 2 hours. And then people are like, oh, I guess I might, before I was like 2 out of 10 to get the vaccine. And now I'm 4 out of 10. Mm-hmm. And he was like, this is a victory. But it's just like, they aren't, the bullshit factory did such a good job that they're not even listening to the source of the bullshit anymore. Right. Like that's, I'm confirming what you said. It feels like we are very
right. Lying. He has helped propagate this propaganda. And I don't know if those have the same root word, but he has propagated this propaganda. There's no truth. And yet he's like, wait, you guys, no, this is wrong.
This one we got to listen to.
And it's too late. It's like, the
cat is out of the bag.
the snowball effect. Like, it's just going downhill and it's going to keep going.
It's very, very depressing. And like, a lot of them are like, maybe I'll take it, but I want to know what's in it. And it's like, do you know what's in it?
That's why I won't buy. That's why I won't buy a phone until I know exactly what's in it. You know,
like it's really, really, it's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And that they're so aware of spin. So like, they were even talking about like, what if we have these commercials with these politicians, and they're like, like, that will turn us off from it even more. And it's like, ugh.
I forget who, because I never listened to that episode of This American Life, but I do remember that particular focus group that Frank Luntz did, where, and I can't remember who it was, but it was somebody who did have credibility.
Chris Christie, right?
They wouldn't listen to the head of the CDC.
You can listen to it, but I'll, yeah, because he finally was like, and how he got through to them was like, here, listen up. I was in the White House, arguably the safest place in the United States.
And I got sick.
I got tested every single day and I got sick, and he listed off all the people who got sick and their ages and their health. And he's like, it's so random because, you know, Hope was young and healthy and she got really sick. And like, yeah. So Chris Christie
Hope is the thing with feathers.
Right. And then they brought back the CDC guy, and he was like, he's like, I've heard.
He was like in a closet, like they just stuck him in a closet.
Well, and he's like, I've heard all of.
I'm still here. Yeah.
He's like, I've heard all of your rebuttals. So I'm just going to list off 5 facts. I'm not going to give an impassioned argument because you think the Democrats are the ones who like feelings. You guys like facts.
Hey, we don't call them Democrats. We call them demon rats.
So he just like listed off the. Like 5 facts, and I think it was like the 1-2 punch of Chris Christie and the CDC guy coming back for the second time. But it's just like, it takes so much to get them to even move this much. It's
Chris Christie and the CDC guy is like a 12-2 punch. Not 1-2 punch. Just saying, he's a big heavy guy.
I mean, the pandemic was hard on all of us.
He learned to eat bread. I should say that I did audition once to play Frank Luntz in a movie.
Really?
Yeah. I don't remember what the movie was. It was years ago, but I do remember.
Oh, was it the Adam McCabe movie, maybe?
McKay.
I don't know.
No. It might have been. It might have been the Adam McKay movie.
Because there was that one about...
Was it The Big Short or was it the Dick Cheney movie?
I was thinking it would be the Dick Cheney movie. Mm-hmm. Because the narrative of that whole movie was about, like,
all that really stuff.
Manipulating public opinion.
Right. So maybe it was that. I just don't remember. But I read a thing today, and it was from a poll. I think CNN did this poll. It was published in the Washington Post, and it said that 50% of Republicans believe that there is valid evidence that Joe Biden did not legitimately get enough votes to be president.
Oh! My God.
50% of Republicans.
But
and
also,
it's like, how can you
answer the phone for that poll, though? It's like, you also have to, it might just be the lunatic.
And thing. What's in their phone? Like, why did they buy that phone?
Right.
I want to know what's in the phone before I buy it.
Not to be completely dismissive of that poll, but I always think about that in this day and age. Like, I don't answer the phone if anyone calls. I feel like it's only the like people with tinfoil hats on. Are answering those
you
polls.
You should probably answer the phone, because I think your car might be out of warranty. Anyway, it just depresses me that this depressing. Is never going to go away. There is a right and wrong, but there's no way that right will prevail. Mm-hmm. You know, truth will not prevail.
Well, even
it benefits too many people to have it not prevail.
Right. Even the Derek Chauvin, is that how you say his name?
Chauvin. I believe it's Chauvin.
like that, I didn't talk about it last week, even though it was a big part of my last week. I was emotional when he was charged guilty across the board. That was a victory. I will say a small victory in the grand scheme of things. But, you know, there's people whose reaction was the poor guy was just trying to do his job.
Yeah.
And I understand that I can be sort of naive and overly optimistic. But I feel like if I was a police officer, I would want to distance myself from people, from other police officers that murder people on the job. I wouldn't want to, like, tie myself to that narrative that that is what my job is. I would, like, it feels so simple to just say, like, no, that isn't what we do, and we will punish people who do that. But they're digging in with the, like, how dare you not let us murder people on the job? And it's strange to me. I can't quite wrap my head around that.
Right. Yeah. I mean, this is a slightly different thing, but, you know, the day that Chauvin was convicted. that young girl was killed.
I know.
With a knife. And so there's all this controversy about, was that right? Was it wrong? Whatever, which I don't, it's like it sort of misses the point, which is that it's all part of a larger pattern and not just about one, because everybody focuses on a single incident, right? And goes,
and like,
this exactly is what's different about this one and right. why they should be allowed to.
Right.
But point being that there was this whole thing where LeBron James put out a tweet about that thing, and then everybody was very upset with him that he was weighing in on it. And so he took the tweet down and said, the point of the tweet was not to engender hate. I mean, he was, you know, basically saying there's enough hate in the world and I don't need right. to, you know, but whatever, this is something. So yesterday I saw a video on the internet, and yeah, I don't remember where, if it was like on Facebook or Twitter or YouTube or Vimeo or,
I think we should
MySpace
to the next part. Yeah.
But it was a cop in his cop vehicle.
Uh-huh.
And he was obviously filming himself. I don't know how he did it, because he was on the phone while he was filming himself.
Maybe a little GoPro.
But it was a skit. It wasn't a real thing. It was a skit. And it was the cop going, hi, LeBron James. I have a question. There's a black person with a knife attacking another black person with a knife. So what should I do, LeBron James? I don't know. Oh, it's okay for a black person to attack a black person with a knife. But if a white person attacks a black person, that's not okay.
And this guy
is a fucking cop doing this. And I don't know. I mean, you know, of course,
and people probably liked it. And
well, the way I saw it was somebody saying, this guy needs to be fired. This is
right.
insane. I don't know what the upshot of that was, but I saw in the comments section, maybe he was fired, maybe he was suspended, I don't know. But of course, he had raised $700,000 on GoFundMe or Kickstarter or some bullshit. And that's kind of what I'm saying, is that people are realizing by doing these radical things,
right.
they can make a shit ton of money. So why wouldn't I do this awful, horrible thing?
And, by being,
you know, I'm not saying all the skits I ever did were great, you know.
But you didn't ever make that much money.
I never made that much money. I mean, no offense, but I never wrote a cardboard laptop sketch either. But
you still have time.
But I could just use the one that's on my fridge. But I don't know, man, it's like,
yeah,
it's dark. It's a dark, dark realization.
It's, you know? Yeah.
And I wish I had booked the part as Frank Luntz. Work is work. Anyway, that's my parting shot. So deal with it.
Damn.
Amber.
Mine can't be just describing that episode of This American Life that I did like a book report on.
No.
Damn it.
Act 4, Amber Kenny has a parting shot.
My parting shot is, oh, I will say this.
Mm-hmm.
I got super into a show, so I'm going to recommend it.
Love it.
It's called Couples Therapy on Showtime.
Mm-hmm.
It's a reality show, but it's not filmed. It's filmed more documentary style rather than like the dramatic reality shows that we think of now with like talking heads and stuff. There's like hidden cameras, I guess. And it's just a therapist in session with couples. And there's 2 seasons of it now. And the second season just dropped. And that's what I just watched.
Would you say there's a couple of seasons?
There are a couple of seasons of couples therapy. Mm-hmm. But part of it I know is probably unhealthy why I like it, because it is so interesting to be a voyeur inside someone's relationship.
It's the same reason people like any reality TV.
But especially people talking really vulnerably and real about their relationship and their problems within their relationships. And
I'm sorry, maybe you already said this, but did they know before they started talking that they were going
to? Yes. Okay. It would feel incredibly unethical.
but I mean, that was what was that show on HBO they had where they drove people around in a taxi?
Oh, and like then, Taxi Cab Confessionals.
I don't know what the name of it was, but
there's no way to know.
But they would have people sign after they did it.
Oh, interesting.
I don't know. It's that Heisenberg uncertainty principle thing where you're like, if they know before they go in, are they going to say the same things they would say if they didn't know?
Right.
You know
what I mean? I think they knew. So there's always that part of it. They might be performative, but I've read articles about it before. I think they had even more couples than air, and they air the ones that
they air on the side of not airing the ones that
more authentic. Air. But I'm telling you, Jeff had to run errands and
Smutty grocery and shopping, I assume.
Right? Smutty and I were on the couch and I watched the season finale of season 2 just hysterically crying because I got invested. Like, there were all of the couples at the beginning, you're like, they should just break up. This is crazy. And then by the end, I was like, they really do love each other. They just can't hear each other through their own personal trauma.
It's a good thing I have time to get myself together before Jeff. What are you doing home? Oh, they packed your groceries for you? Oh, God, I thought I had another 5 minutes.
But it's really good. And it's really, like, it's sweet in the sense that everyone is trying to come together. And sometimes it's difficult because human beings are complicated.
But relationships are tough.
Mm-hmm. But
I mean,
but
that has not been my experience, but I've heard about it from other people.
But like, oh man, it's really good. If anything, I'm upset that I finished it. Like now I'm a little bit addicted. And I
hope
know,
there's a third season.
Well, and I want to know how those specific couples are doing.
Right. You want to revisit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, see if the therapy worked.
I hope they kept it up. And
do they do more than one episode about the same couple?
Yes. So the whole season basically followed 3 couples.
Okay. So they keep intertwining between the greens, then, the whites, and the blues.
Right. And then the therapist, our hero therapist, also has sessions with her therapist talking about these couples. And like, I don't know if I'm crossing a line telling them to do this, or it's fascinating. It's fascinating stuff.
I would like it if they were also part of a logic problem. Like if the couples were in therapy going, And we're not sure if we're supposed to live in the White House or the Red House. And we're not sure if he is a baker or a cobbler. Right. And if Which he is a baker, does he make cobbler?
Right.
Yeah, Showtime. I'm all about Showtime right now because I've been watching, I think I said last week, I've been watching Billions, which is another Showtime show. In fact, I've been thinking about, this is so, I do these weird things sometimes where I
tear up important documents. Sorry. It's going to be fine. I don't know how, but it will be fine.
I'm never leaving this place again. No, there's a guy on Billions who, he's a comedian, older guy named Alan Havey. He's been around forever. And I met him years ago, right when I started at Chicago City Limits. So it would have been the early 90s. Met him at a show, like a benefit show one night. Nice guy. And I just always remembered it. And he's on this show and he's so fucking good. Like he was in Mad Men and he kind of played the same kind of character. And that, you know, he's just like a oily kind of, you're just like, this guy.
But he tapped into.
Yeah. Head. But he's like, and I just want to tweet at him and go like, dude, I know you don't remember me, but good on you. You know what I mean?
You should. I mean, everyone likes to hear.
I feel weird about that.
A compliment.
So that's your parting shot. Showtime Couples Therapy season 3 coming back.
I don't know about that. I hope so. I certainly hope so. And the therapist has a dog. So I'm like smudgy. Also, I was crying, I was curious because it was the first time I've been crying since Smudgy has been in the house. And you know, they say like, oh, dogs, they can sense when you're sad and they want to take care of you. I mean, I know that he's just a baby, but I was crying and he was dead asleep and he looked up like, you're annoying, and went back to bed. And I was like, oh, well, there's my sweet boy.
Right. Well, it could be that he was sensing you doing that, or it could have been an earthquake because they sense that too.
Sure. So, I thought he might like comfort me, but he was just like, keep it down.
Folks, this has been The Long Shot with Sean and Amber, come hell or high water. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. Do all the things. Let people know about the show. Follow Amber on Twitter. It's @amber_ Oh, no, underscore, not slash.
Yeah, no slashes.
Follow slash from Guns N' Roses. @amber_Kenny. And follow me on Twitter. And have a great week. And, you know, everybody stay safe and take pictures of all your documents so that you have them. We'll see you next time.